Welcome back to the Physician Syndicate Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Greg.
And I'm your other host, Ronak. And today I think we have a really important episode for you. It's a little bit of an unfortunate episode, but I think it's really important. In the startup world, it's a lot of hopes and dreams, but there's a few bad things that go on in this industry as well. So the topic that we really want to delve into today is all about fraud. I think this more so applies to angel investors more so than entrepreneurs. Greg, you can tell me if you feel otherwise, but fraud is something that this industry sees quite a bit of. And we just want to give all of our listeners a little bit of two cents of how to identify when fraud is happening and, you know, just give our thoughts around the subject overall to make sure you can protect yourself.
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons that we want to talk about this is Ronak was about to take a pitch from a company that sounded too good to be true and likely turned out to be it's too good to be true. And so I think that's one thing that you want to listen for. When you're an investor, you have to do your own due diligence. You have to understand, you know, is this company real? Are the founders real? And if you have your spidey sense tingling that maybe this is just too good to be true, you should probably listen to that. You listen to your gut, investigate a little bit more, you know, ask somebody else to evaluate the company as well, just so you can start to get fresh eyes on it. Because if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So we can go through a couple examples. There was one that reached out to me, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, something like that, maybe a few months ago, that was building basically a new LinkedIn competitor type of company that had ridiculous traction that honestly sounded way too good to be true. And I was like, yeah, let's jump on a call. Like, are you serious? Like, this is, sounds like a great company. You guys have revenue coming in. You have large numbers of people using it. And you get on the call and, you know, at the end of it, it's like, do you have any questions left? It's like, yeah, I want to see the product. Can you give me a demo account? Can I get in, see what people are talking about, see what people are using this new social network for? And the guy just wouldn't let me in. He's like, oh, it's geolocked, blah, 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 blah. And so the more we dug in, the more we realized, yeah, this is not true. There's no way this can be true. There's nobody talking about this app. There's nobody actually using this app. Like, when you went on, you basically just saw a bunch of copied posts from LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and just basically centralizing stuff into this platform. So we were thinking about investing. We're like, yeah, maybe we'll put in $25,000 or $50,000 into this company because, wow, what traction it has. Like, maybe it's a LinkedIn killer. Way too good to be true. And Ronak, do you want to just go through, like, what is the story of this company that we were both about to be pitched? And then you realize that, hey, maybe this, something's wrong with this.
Yeah. So for both of these examples, they both touted having hundreds and hundreds of thousands of users, getting close to 1 million users, right? And when we started Googling around for these companies, just looking at Facebook, looking at Reddit, looking at Twitter, there was nobody talking about these companies. So how could a company have like 500,000 users on a mobile app, but nobody's talking about them? We looked at Crunchbase or PitchBook and all of these platforms, and no name brand investor or anybody has given them any money. You look at some of their profile, the founders' profiles, and, you know, they did not go to world-class schools or anything. What really got me, though, was that for this meeting that we were about to take today, was the message that I got on LinkedIn was saying that they have over 750,000 users. When they sent me the deck, it said that they have over 350,000 users. What happened?
It's growing really, really fast, Ronak. They couldn't switch their pitch deck up.
They just couldn't keep up. Right. And in like a month, they doubled the size of the company. That's interesting. Moreover, when you start looking at their backgrounds, like who are their connections, right? Do they actually, you know, if they do have a world-class university listed, do they have any other connections that went to that same university? Or are they just putting it on their LinkedIn account, making it pretend to be so?
Yeah, be careful with LinkedIn too, because you can see people, you know, putting Harvard on there and like they just went the Harvard shield, and then you're like, oh, they went to Harvard Extension, which is fine, but that's not Harvard, right? Mm-hmm. So like these things you actually need to pay attention to, especially if you're an angel investor, to start to understand the people that you're dealing with. And there was one person that almost came on the podcast, and then the more that I went looking into the person, I was like, there's no way this guy is coming onto the podcast. he has such a like weird history of company formation and screwing over investors. It's like, no, we're not going to give this guy any type of platform. So I think let's just talk through, like, what does due diligence look like on these companies that are just reaching out cold to, hey, you're a physician angel investor, do you want to write a check into this new social media platform? Like, where do you go first, Ronak, in terms of how do you evaluate whether or not this is real?
Yeah, so the first thing that I would do is really dig into the, like, understand if the founders are legitimate. Are there any shared contacts between or connections between you and the founders that you can go and talk to and just say that, like, hey, I see that you went to high school with this person. Are they, did they really seem all that intelligent or whatever it is? If there's no connections at all, that is a little bit of a red flag. Now maybe, you know, as a physician, you don't have a lot of contacts in the angel investing and startup space, but as you start getting more and more used to this environment, you're going to start building up these contacts. And if there's nobody at all, that's an initial red flag. A second thing that you can ask for is that, like, hey, put me in touch with somebody else that's already invested in your company and talk to them to see, like, how deep of a relationship do they actually have? Are they a relative that they're putting you in touch with, or are they actually putting you in touch with somebody credible, somebody with an impressive background that you can verify is a real person? Again, like I mentioned, the schools that they went to, I mean, you know, I think anybody can create a fantastic company. School is not the only thing. But my point here is, are they lying about it, right? Greg mentioned Harvard Extension, but there's not stopping anybody from putting a Harvard MBA or Harvard Law School on your LinkedIn profile where you just didn't go, right? I mean, there's Harvard doesn't check everybody's LinkedIn profile or enforce anything like that. So there are clear red flags that you can look out for. Like, you don't want to deal with anybody that's lying. And then the second thing that I would think about is just any kind of metrics that people are putting out there. Are they actually real or are they fake, right? So this company that this company that we were just about to talk to, all their messaging, their deck kept on saying that they're a top 50 company, a top 50 app, top 50 mobile app, top 50 mobile app. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and saying that, okay, they probably meant that they were the top 50 in whatever category that they are in, and not just a generally top 50 app, because that would be a multi-billion dollar company right there. But even if I give them the category, which they did not call out, if I give them the category and I go look at the top 200 on both the iOS store and the Android store, and they're nowhere there. When I look at how many star ratings the app has gotten, it's an incredibly small number. When I read through every single comment that's left about the company, there's not a single one that uses even remotely close to proper English. I'm starting to get red flags left and right that this isn't the most worthwhile investment or way to spend my time listening to this pitch.
Yeah, I think that goes back to, if you're an angel investor, you want to be able to use the product of the company. You want to understand, are there actually 750,000 users? Because if you get into the product and there's, like, literally no activity, that is not possible. Like, if you have 750,000 users, I don't care how many of them are active, monthly active users, daily active users, weekly active users. If there's 750,000 people, you're going to have some sort of activity, not just like crickets. So that was always the concern when we figured out how to get into that other company's app, was like, there's no activity. There's no one that's actually posting. It was all like from 3 weeks ago and 27 days ago, which is really odd. And it's like, clearly you just imported stuff from somewhere else. So that is like the ultimate due diligence, I feel like, is, hey, can I use your app? Get me in there and let's see what happens.
So we've talked earlier about accredited investor rules, where, you know, if you do want to invest in a private company, you do have to be an accredited investor. That's actually one of the nice things about the public markets. You know, I'm sure that a lot of large companies, there's a bunch of fraud that goes on too, but it probably is happening a lot less. Like, Enron type situations are probably very rare.
Very rare.
I doubt that there's any kind of accounting shenanigans going on at Amazon or Apple or any of these giant companies that you can buy through a traditional brokerage account where you don't need to be an accredited investor to invest. But that's part of it, right? Like, if you want to take the risk and try to get the reward of a startup, you got to do the homework of make sure you're not getting defrauded, right? You don't have the SEC that's making sure that everything is getting audited. You have to do your own due diligence on this stuff.
Yeah, and as an angel investor, like if you're, I'm hesitant to invest a lot of times unless there is some kind of social signal that this company is real, that they're building something. So like a lot of my investments come through the YC network, right? Like you cannot fake getting into YC. You cannot put yourself up on YC's company list. Like that's impossible to do. So at least you know that they are for real going through Y Combinator, and it's not like startup school. It's the actual Y Combinator accelerator program. And same thing with like if a company has, you know, is raising a seed round and they have a lead investor that you know who they are, and you're like, perfect, I can reach out to that person and be like, hey, are you guys actually investing in this company? I know it's not closing for another few weeks. They reached out to me. They want me to invest 25 or 50,000. I just want to confirm you guys are actually on the cap table or going to be on the cap table. Because again, like now that I've seen this a couple times where it's just clearly fraud, it worries me enough that from now on, I'm always going to be doing quite a bit of due diligence myself and having some kind of social signal that says this company is for real. They're building something real. They're not frauds. That means a lot more to me than if you cannot prove that, which I would avoid at all costs. You don't want to just like throw 50,000 at a company and then have it disappear. Like more than likely it's going to happen with a startup anyway, but you want to make sure that there's actually a chance that they can grow a real company and not just that they're going to take your money and run. So keep that in mind. It is a lot more fraud out there than I anticipated.
That's right. Stay safe, everybody.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a quick one on fraud. Just keep your eyes open, reach out to other angel investors. Honestly, like with the one that we got pitched, I was trying to figure out a way to like, you know, get it out there that, hey, this company might not be for real, but I don't know what that system would be. So anyways, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. And we'll see you next time on the Physician Syndicate podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate podcast.